see for the first few days of next week. So if the Jets lose, I don't know.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
I don't know how I'm supposed to. I don't know how I'm going to hold up.
What is it?
We'll get you, some psychological help.
Nothing that important.
So you remember that we yesterday we went through the Mahalach of the Kesef Mishnah in explaining the Shita of the Rambam. And I think we got a good handle on the Shita of the Rambam. Basically, the Shita of the Rambam was fully based on Shem Yafiach. But Rashi still sort of looms as a big difficulty. Rashi, when he says that you wrap your tefillin in the Sudar and you put them, Eitz on the Rosh Hashanah, put them off to the side, and that's okay, seemingly for Shenas Arai and Shenas Kava. Why? And we still really haven't fully resolved what exactly Rashi means there.
He removes the tefillin and wraps it.
That's the way Rashi learns that memory. So if you saw the Tosos Rid, as I hope you did, Tosos Rid says the following: V'hu de par suja lahu, pirish hamora v'henichan etzol merashosav, that you took them off, or the person took them off and put them etzol merashosav v'ein nirali. I don't think that's the right shot. The im silkan me olav v'sam osam etzol merashosav pshita. Here you have another Rishon taking on Rashi and saying, hey, Rashi, what kind of interpretation is that? If you take them off your head and you wrap them up, you put them on the side, what kind of chiddush is that? What need the Gemara specifically tell me that that's permissible? Pshita, v'amai lo paras sudra alayu. So, v'nirli, why aren't you learning, why are you learning that way? V'amaylo, parasujalayu. Nearly the anokit le biyodekai. He says, I think the pshat is like this. He says, I think the pshat is, when is it that you need prisas sudar? The anokit le biyodekai. It's going on the step in the Gemara of the anokit le biyode. How so? The e parasuja vinokit le biyode, yashin ramafilu keva. Why? Oh, so he says very simply, Shem yiplu miyadav la'aretz mambakach harein kruchin basudar v'locheshin en elke denaket luhu below kisoy shelo yeshem emkeva shem yiplu la'aretz. I'll say outside what his pshat is, and then maybe I'll read it through again just so you could appreciate the lashon. But this is a different pshat than Rashi and a different pshat than the Rambam. Right? I can't tell you why he doesn't learn like the Rambam, but I can tell you why he's arguing on Rashi. Again, what's Rambam's position regarding Pari Sudar? That you took the kerchief, you put on the tefillin, and then you napped while you were wearing the tefillin with the kerchief on it, with the Sudar on it. So what's going to happen? Oh, you'll be constantly reminded not to lapse further into Shenas Keva. How? Somehow this Sudar is going to catch your eye, and you're going to be reminded, like the Kesef Mishnah says, it's going to be some form of a hecker, some form of a reminder. Lahavdil, a person ties a string on his finger, so he remembers that he has something to do. Over here, Tosas is saying, you're not tying a string on your tefillin, you're tying a sudar on your tefillin. You're wrapping your tefillin in a sudar, and then as you're dozing, I guess every once in a while, you'll bump into it, or you'll realize something is different here, something is not the norm, and you'll be reminded, and as such, you'll be more vigilant about not lapsing into a deeper sleep. Okay, but that was more in line, seemingly, with the simple pshat of the Gemara and the Gemara's lashon of yoshin b'tefillin. Problem with Rashi was what kind of yoshin b'tefillin is that? The guy's not sleeping in his tefillin. He's taking them off. He's wrapping them with a kerchief and putting them on the side. So we said a few things. If you take them off already, why do they have to be covered up? And once they're off and they're covered up, why are you calling that sleeping with your tefillin? And what's London and Torah Lamach Yasharis? So we conjecture that what Rashi is telling us is that there's still some higher level of treatment that really should be demanded regarding the tefillin. But because London and Torah Lamach Yasharis, we're not going to require it of you. What is that? So one possibility was that really ideally a person shouldn't put the tefillin in a place where he's going to be flatulating all around the tefillin either. So now you're going to sleep. We're back to Shem Yafiach. Shenas Keva breeds Shem Yafiach. Ah, you're tefillin right near you, and you're going to be shem yafiach. Okay, you covered it. What else could you do? Lo nitnam tor lamach yasharis. You took them off. Again, you don't have a raya for that, because Rashi doesn't say that. But that's one possibility. The other possibility is that really you didn't put your tefillin in the most mashumah place. You didn't put your tefillin in the most protected place. What did you do? You allowed yourself to rely on the lowest form of protection. You simply put them down, you covered them up. So you showed some cover to the tefillin, but you didn't put them in a quote-unquote mokom mashumah. You put them at the edge of your bed as opposed to getting up and putting them in the cabinet or wherever they should be placed. Okay, well, we're not going to require you to do that every time you take a nap. Well, those are two possibilities that we suggested for Rashi. What's the Tosfos Rid say? Tosfos says, hey, Rashi, what kind of business is that? It's pasha. It's pasha that if you take off your tefillin and you put them with a kerchief, that that's going to be mutter. You don't need to tell me that in the context of a yoshin b'tefillin. Right, so now we have a third shita. The third shita on how to understand Pori Sudar. So he says, what does it mean? It means this is really to be understood in the context of Adonokit Levi Yadeh. Nakat Levi Yadeh meant what? You're holding the tefillin in your hand. So when you're holding the tefillin in your hand, what are you worried about? You're worried that you might drop them. You're worried you might drop them. So if you're worried that you might drop them, can't allow that. Oh, but if it's Pori Sudar, then it's okay. What do you mean? So he says, the Ipara Sudar of the Nakat Levi Yadeh, if you wrap them up in a Sudar, read as you put them in the case, you put them in their, what we call the zekel, put them in their bag. Or today you put them in that, IDF covering. I'm sure everyone's seen that. This canister, it floats, it's waterproof. No one knows what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Beit El issue, looks like a cylinder.
Israeli Defense Force canister?
I mean, they use that, the soldiers use that, but I don't know if it's standard issue, but they have it. Right?
I use it.
You have it?
It floats.
I think
that's
floats.
The thing
I think
that you have? Yeah. So pure it floats.
Right. So, whatever you're wrapping it in, you're wrapping in something. Then you're holding your hand, no problem. Why no problem? What about you might fall asleep and it might fall? Okay, mabakach. What's so bad? It's gonna fall to the aretz. Shem yipul miyada laaretz mabakach. Hare kruchin basudar. We're not worried about that. They're wrapped up, so they'll fall in something. Now today we wouldn't say, ooh, that's okay. We know if a person drops his tefillin in the case, that's still not an ideal situation. And we say that in that case, a person should give charity, give tzedakah, in lieu of fasting. Really, in a case where the tefillin fall naked, when they fall uncovered, a person's supposed to fast. That's learned from the case of Sefer Torah that fell. Magen Avraham brings that from the case of Sefer Torah that falls where everyone's supposed to fast. So your tefillin fall unprotected, then you're supposed to fast. But they fall somewhat protected. Again, it's not a great situation. The person sort of should acknowledge that. He wasn't so vigilant as he should have been with his tefillin. Should give tzedakah. Mavakach harein kruchim besudar. They're wrapped up. V'lo chayshin and elba nokit lu biyadet. Below kisoy. What are we worried about? What about a person taking them in his hand, but there's no covering? Then, shem yipul aretz, that's a major problem. That's a big problem. Shalal yeshem and keva shem yipul aretz. They might fall. So that's Tosfos Rid's Mahalach and Sugya. That's sort of, you don't have three things here, you have sort of two. One collapses into the other. You have Pori Sudar is a qualification of Nakit B'yadeh. It's Nakit B'yadeh A, and then Pori Sudar B.
What is Pori Sudar?
You wrap them up in the kerchief.
Pori
so those are two, what's that?
Pori is to wrap.
Pori literally means to spread. To spread it out. So Rashi says, oh, I'll tell you what spread out means. You spread it out on top, you cover it up. Ram says, you poris it on the tefillin. And Tosfos Rid comes along and says, no, poris sudra doesn't really mean poris sudra. It means they're kruchim basudar. They're wrapped up in the sudar. I would say, Lani is taiti, that this is the most mechudosh. This is more mechudosh than Rashi. This is more mechudosh than Rashi.
I mean, I think it's...
For two reasons. First of all, who says poris means kruchin? That's one thing. And second of all, why are you saying that these, what was previously understood by everyone else to be three different levels, you're saying really collapses into two levels? That's a big chiddush. It's a big chiddush. Again, it's hard to really say svara over here, svara for Rashi, but at least we could try to explain them as best we can. Try to explain what they're saying.
I mean, what's...
See, again, remember the Rambam's case of Nakit B'yadeh, when he holds its mutter, according to Nosei Kalim, it's only when they're kruchim B'yadeh, right? Only when they're wrapped in his hand. When they're wrapped in his hand, then you can do whatever you want, according to the Rambam, because nothing's going to happen. You're not wearing them. No shem yafiach. They can't fall. No shem yipul aretz. Shalma Yisrael. You've got the best of everything. They're on your head. Can't do anything. Can't do anything. Because he doesn't have Rashi's step. Oh, that shem yafiach is only a din of shenas keva. Shem yafiach at any time. So each Rishon is sort of taking a certain thing for granted and going forward from there. Rashi's taking for granted there's a difference between Chenas Kevah and Chenas Arai, Lagabe Shem Yafiach. Rambam's saying no, there's no such thing. Right? And Rambam's saying that the Suda apparently will help you be vigilant regarding Shem Yafiach. Other Rishonim are saying, I guess there's no such thing. You can't. You know, if there's a chashash of shem yafiach, a hecker is not going to help you. You know, it's a bodily function. What kind of hecker are you going to use? And that seems to be part of the debate. And Tosfos Ritter is saying that if they're off your head, there's nothing to talk about. That's pasha. You need to be taught. There's no chiddush. There's nothing. Oh, so Elamai, what must it mean? It must mean that there's two types of nakip biyadeh. You're holding your hand naked, and you're only, not when you're naked, you're only bare tefillin, and you're holding the tefillin when they're protected. One case is permissible entirely, so there's nothing to worry about, and one case is going to be ulcer. Yeah, Chaim, you want to say something or ask something?
I was going to ask, what would be the case in I think for your fasting for tefillin, which tefillin does it have to be?
Oh, I don't know if it matters. You mean the Rashi or Benyata? I don't know if we're Mechal.
No, I'm saying...
Shal Yad Shal Rosh?
Yeah, Shal Yad Shal.
I don't know if we make a tefillin.
Does it have to be both, or does it have to be just one?
I don't know if the halacha distinguishes. That's a good question. What's called falling is a good question. That I'm not sure about.
If it fell
on the ground, that's definitely less man de polig. That's called falling. You know,
if it fell on a platform?
What do you mean, up fell on a platform?
On a table?
Like, see, you have that little...
That's
great. I would say that's the ground. I mean, it's the elevated ground. It's hard to say that's not called ground. I mean, the problem is that the tefillin were now in a state of bizui. That's really what the issue is. And they can tell me it's a disgrace somehow by falling on the floor. There's some disgrace. It's a tefillin. That's what you're fasting for. So it's a good question. If it falls just on the table or you're standing over the shtender and it falls there, I don't know. Maybe that's not called. You see here, Shem Yipul Aretz. The Rishonim use the law Shem Yipul Aretz. So I say anything that's considered Oretz is fast worthy.
All right. So
that platform, I would say, is called Oretz.
So I had a separate question.
Yeah.
So in the case of the Rambam, where he has his tefillin attached to his hand.
Right. You're not worried about that. You're not worried about Shemi.
What happens if he's sleeping like this and his arms are really long? So they're touching. So it's touching on the floor.
I guess that's not normal.
Fall,
right.
But it's.
I don't. I guess that's not.
I
guess it's not normal. I mean, the guy's
if
like
I
if
I were leaning forward,
isn't there a difference between a giraffe
like
and
like a gorilla? Would be different. I didn't erase it. I just started to fall.
Backpack, you dropped your backpack on.
Yeah, yeah, that's different. I'm talking just when you put the thing directly on the floor. That case.
In high school.
Put that case
down. You put your phone in your knapsack. You run to school, you throw your knapsack down.
That's where they're tarred onto your hands, and then your hands hit the floor. I don't know if that's really showing you full arts. They really didn't fall on the floor. I'd say it's still in your hand. Your hands.
It's not like you are placing it
right.
On the floor and you have it in my building.
Right. That's what I would say. Again, I'm not saying that's a righteous thing to do, but I don't think it would be subject to this problem.
Would it consider like I'm wearing it and I'm also like trip and fall? Now everything is within less.
I still don't think that's Shemi Pilates. I don't think
really?
So.
Really? Because you're going to go like this.
Well, I mean, it's not.
No, but the tefillin didn't fall. It's not. You can't say, look, I was not vigilant regarding my tefillin. Something bad happened to the tefillin. You fell. That's not the same thing. Sefer Torah falls on the ground, fell on the ground. So you're asking what happens if a guy falls with the Sefer Torah and it fell on the ground? I would still say the tefillin, that Sefer Torah is on the ground. Now you're asking maybe it should be the same thing by the tefillin. I fell on the ground. I don't know. I'm not sure. It's a good question. I'm not sure about that.
And if a Sefer Torah, someone is holding the Sefer
Torah. Right, that's
Torah,
what I'm saying. And he falls.
And he stumbles, falls, and the Sefer Torah lands on top of the shulchan.
No, that's okay. I don't think that's a problem.
No.
I think it has to really fall on the ground.
Yeah, even in my shul, when the Torah fell out of the aron.
Right, that's the word.
It hit the podium that the thing was on. It wasn't
deemed to be a nefila la'aretz.
Yeah.
No fasting necessary.
No fasting necessary.
You know what I mean? I guess if the guy's holding tefillin and he falls, that would likely be different than a person who's wearing tefillin and falls. Because I still don't view the tefillin as having fallen. I say the person fell. Okay, I haven't been wearing tefillin. But
I'm saying for the tefillin falling, the bottom have to hit the ground, right?
Yeah, it's not the ritzuos.
Right.
It's the bottom.
So if you're wearing a tefillin, it's not likely that the bottom are
hitting. No, the if you do, you have other problems. If your shel rosh is hitting the ground, it means either you're not wearing the tefillin properly, or it was a pretty bad fall. And then you have to fall head first. Anyway, that's a separate issue. Yeah, let's move on.
In terms of someone wearing a tefillin here, if they had a unibrow.
No, it's got to be these. It's got to be these here. That has to be above. It has to be above the ikur, you know, makom gido haseya. We call the roots. Okay, that was
the
Tosfos. Yeah, the hairline, or where the hairline was. You know, when a person has hairline.
Well, what if you actually had hair growing out all over here?
If that's your real hairline, then I guess it would be okay.
No, I was saying like. There, I think there is like a
condition,
like a warped gene where you grow
okay.
everywhere.
So you have the benefit of being able to wear your tefillin lower. I don't know to tell you.
It's a trade-off. You get to look like a werewolf.
Right, right. Okay, let's go fight.
That's a plus on both sides.
Let's go fight. Right, that's what I told. That's actually what I.
Literally.
That's actually what I told the rabbi this morning. I said, I think you have some carites in this show.
Because then you open it to the other page in the Chumash and you say, it looks like you forgot to read this page.
Okay. Okay, let's go fight there. So that's in terms of yesterday's sugya. Let's go a little further, okay? I'd like to try to get to the Tanabanan if we can.
Exactly.
Someone like to read for us? Kama Shein Asaroi? The Kama Shein Asaroi? Go ahead, Avi. Let's. Go ahead.
The Kama Shein Asaroi. Tani Rami Bar Yechezkel Kedei Hiluch Mea Ama. So it would be, according to. Rami Bar Yechezkel would be walking, the equivalent of walking
100 amos. So we calculated before that's roughly, what did we say, that was roughly 40 seconds, what did you say?
Yeah, 40
based
seconds.
Based on our
54 seconds? That would Rashi.
40 seconds plus or minus 3
yeah.
with the error.
Rashi said, where? Our school said 54 seconds?
Yeah, I think.
Where is that? And what, yeah, either way, it's not going to really help us that much, 54 seconds, 40 seconds. It's not that much. However that you came up with this shear, it doesn't seem like a major help. Yeah, you have a question?
Yeah, about the previous discussion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem.
The Tosfos Rid?
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay, Tosfos...
Rid, Tosfos Rid. It's a different Rid than the regular Tosfos.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Another one of the Bali Tosfos.
So, okay, the Tosfos Rid says, holding tefillin in hand versus holding in se'udar in hand.
That's right.
Rambam says se'udar acts as a hecker.
That's right.
They're all discussing with se'udar.
Right.
Right,
that's right.
And the Rashi says, the se'udar is to show like a higher level of respect.
That's right, they're off. They're off your head, they're off your body already. They're on the side.
Yeah, off
body, yeah.
And show higher level of respect.
Right.
Okay, great. And that was all about the suitor.
Yeah.
All right, thanks. That's it.
Okay. Yep. So to 200 amos, fine, very good. Next. Tanya Nami Hachi. Tanya Nami Hachi is a term of art that's basically used to indicate that you have another member someplace else that supports what was just said. We have another teaching elsewhere which backs up what we just said. We learned elsewhere that Shein Asarai is also 200 amos. Where was that?
Hayashan betfilin v'ra'a keri oches beretzuo v'eino oches b'ktitza.
Right, so a person who sees an emission while he's wearing his tefillin, he's oches beretzuo but not oches min ha'ktitza. A ktitza, we said, is the bias. So look at, for example, the first Rashi on the top of 26b. Right, that's a third gear. So, all right, it all basically means the same thing.
It seems like some people were spreading around. So.
Whatever it is, either they had different gear. So,
legitimate
you know.
Gemaras back then,
and that's
the same. It's essentially the same thing, just the different language. Lo ochzon b'ktitza. He should not hold them by the ktitza, meaning similarly referring to the pair of the tefillin.
By the
right.
way, in the second line of Rabbeinu Hananel,
right.
What's that word?
Pirish, hi hatavla. That's the
table?
Yeah, but he means the square part of the tefillin. What we call the bottom.
Oh.
Look at Rashi. Hein tefillin atzman. Defus moshavon. Verutsuon. The place where the seat of the, you know, of the tefillin, the form of the base of the tefillin. Ritzuon and the Ritzuos, But Domalo, you have similar language from Masechas Gita and Bani Zakim, Arboim saw Ktsutzi Tfilin. You have the same lashon elsewhere. Again, the Ktsitsa is the Tfilin themselves. And Rabbi Nachman says, Pirish, Hi Atavla, de Rabbi Yaakov, and then he brings down the rest of the that issue. Okay, so it means the tefillin. Eina ochid, you don't hold on to the tefillin, you hold on to the ritzuos. Basically, you don't wear the tefillin during that time. You have to remove the tefillin from your person at the time when there's keri on your body. As Rashi says previously, tzarech l'salkan mirosho ba'od ha-keri olav. And that, in which case you can hold on, you take them off, and you can hold on to the ritzuos, but you should not hold on to the batim during that time. Okay? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Dibri Rav Yaakov.
That's Rav Yaakov. Rav Yaakov says you could sleep with your tefillin, but if you have keri and you realize it, then you have to take off your tefillin and hold them by the ritzuos until you remove the keri from your body. Chachamim say.
Chachamim umrim, yashin adam b'tefillin shinas arai, avalo shinas keva, v'kama shinas arai, kidei hilach mea ama.
Back to the 100 amas. Sorry, back to the 100 amas. Okay, that's why the Gemara brought this. The Gemara brought this to show that 100 amos is something that was conventionally maintained, conventionally held.
Amar Rav, Asher L'Adam Li'Yashin.
Whoa, slow. Does everyone follow that? Everyone got that? Okay.
What was this last bit in English?
The last bit? Yeah. If the Chacham come along and they say, you're allowed to sleep with your tefillin temporarily, b'shenas arayi, but not a shenas keva. And how much is a Shenas Keva? 100 amos. Yeah, I'm sorry, how much is a Shenas Arai? 100 amos. That's the reason why the Gemara brought this machlok between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yaakov, only because of that last piece, on the last statement, as you would say, the last bit, the 100 amos bit. Because that was the support for the original statement. The Gemara originally said, how much is a Shenas Arai? 100 amos. Oh, and Tanya Nami Hachi, I'll show you that we learned it elsewhere, the same thing over here. Question?
What was the last? The last flow, high level pass. What's the?
Okay, yeah. The Gemara starts off by saying how much is Shena Sarai? 100 amos. Yep. And by the way, I'll just tell you that we have a support for this statement. I don't want you to think that this is just the only place where we say it's 100 amos. I'll show you elsewhere that this is borne out. Where?
Yep.
We have a machloket between the Chacham and Yaakov. And Rabbi Yaakov says, when you sleep with your tefillin, that's okay. But if you see keri, you have to take them off and hold them by the ritzuos. Chacham come along and say, you could sleep aroi, but not keva. And how much is aroi? 100 amos.
Okay.
So that's the purpose of the Gemara.
That was the preview. That's the permission that they're bringing. Right?
That's the Tanya Nami Hachi. This machlokes. We learned elsewhere a support for this.
Yeah. So with the two sentences you just reported.
Sentences?
Whatever, the whole discussion of
that. Oh, deal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Statements. Yeah. So wait, that was, they're just repeating the Mishnah here?
No. Again, the Gemara here, on the bottom of 20, of Chaf Vav Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, how much is, we were talking previously, for the last, I don't know, 10 lines here. Shenas Arai, Shenas Keva, in the Sukkah, at the Sukkah, yes tefillin, no tefillin, right?
Yeah.
What's Shenas Arai? Now the Gemara all of a sudden comes along and says, well, how much is Shenas Arai?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the amount of sleep that you can get in 100 feet, in 100 amos, 200 feet, however much sleep that is. So now the Gemara says, well, I don't want you to just to think that I'm just throwing it out, not spitballing here. It's not
correct.
Just off the cuff, 100 amos.
I'll
show you that we have support for this. Where is that? Oh, that's in the machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yaakov regarding some other issue.
Fine.
And at the end, we see that the Chachamim say, Shenaska arai is permissible. How much is it? 100 amos.
Yep. Okay. So far, so good.
That's it. That's all we've discussed thus far.
All right. But what about all the stuff
stuff
like
is just part of
the horses and the breeding?
We're not up to that yet. We're not up to that.
What? We haven't got? I thought we were...
I'm going to read that right now.
Wait, hold on. So where are we holding right now?
Right this moment?
Yeah.
I'm on the third line, fourth line down. Amar Rav.
Ah, I see.
Okay, now we're going to talk about the horses.
Okay.
I didn't know you were such an equestrian.
That's the word. I was thinking of the word.
Go ahead. Amar Rav.
Amar Rav.
Four lines down. Amar Rav.
Amar Rav. Azra la'adam yashen b'yom yoter mishina.
Now it is.
I told you.
You can repeat it if you want.
Do not repeat it.
No.
Go ahead.
So, all right. So, but someone with a hoarse breath, you know, it's going to take them a lot longer to breathe because they're, well, actually I messed it up, whatever. It's their throat hurts.
Okay. Shisa nishmi. Amar Abaye. Amar Abaye. That was good. Amar Abaye.
Hold on. Amar Abaye.
Shinsei demar. Shinsei demar.
Shinsei demar.
The sleep pattern of mar. Rashi says, who was mar over here? Rabbi Bar Nachman. And he was quoting his master. He was quoting, look at Rashi three lines down. Demar. In this context, who was mar? Rabbi Bar Nachman. It doesn't mean every time in Shas you see someone citing mar, it means Rabbi Bar Nachman. In this case, it's a reference to Rabbi Bar Nachman.
I feel like these next two lines are completely unnecessary. I don't mean to be. Hope that wasn't recorded.
Yeah, it was. What do you mean? The Kamashena Sasus.
Okay, fine. So, no, not that.
Shisa Nishmi. Amar Abaye. Shinsei Demar, the sleep of Rabbi Bar Nachman was like Rav. Because he learned how to sleep. Rashi says, Ki Rav. Dimimenu lomad midas sheinoso. Shaya yashin Rav bayom kishir zeh. Rav would often nap in this way. And Rabbi Bar Nachman received his training, as it were, from Rav. Okay? So Rabbi Bar Nachman slept like Rav. Rav, in turn, slept like Rebbe. Where did Rav get his training? He got it from Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Shegido Atzlo. Rav apparently was raised alongside Yehuda Nasi. So he grew up alongside Yehuda Nasi. And therefore, his training came from Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Okay, so where did Rabbeinu HaKadosh get his Masorah from? Where did it come from? Oh, it came from David. Kach kibyo me'avosav shezu haisa shenas David melech Yisrael. Goes all the way back to David. Right, goes all the way back to David. So let's just review. The Gemara recounts as follows, that Rav says, a person should not sleep more than the sleep of a horse. How much is the sleep of a horse? 60 breaths. Amar Abaye, sort of anecdotally, Shinsei Demar, the sleeping of Rabbi Bar Nachman, his Rebbe, was learned from Rav. And where did Rav get his Mahalach in sleeping? He got it from Rebbe. And where did Rebbe get it from? Rebbe got it from way of Masorah, from David Melech Yisrael. Admittedly, this is a strange Gemara. Let's just finish out the Gemara, and then we'll see if we could, I guess, get some understanding as to what the Gemara is trying to convey to us. Okay? V'didavid kidesusya. And David, where did David get his Mahalach from, which in turn was passed down throughout the generations? Apparently from the horses. Right?
Is that what Rashi says, though?
V'david kidesusya?
No, v'david. What was that? Was that?
Rebbe Kedavid, and as Rebbe got his approach from David. But then the Gemara says, okay, so where did David get it from? Kedesusya.
Right. Oh, okay, never mind.
No?
I was looking at Rashi.
Yeah. So what are you asking about?
No, because
the Rashi says, Rebbe Kedavid.
Right.
Kach kibo me'avosav shezu haisa shenas David melech Yisrael.
Okay, fine.
But that only gets you up so far. What about David? Yeah. Who was David's Rebbe?
Right.
For this? Well, it was the horses.
That's right. A terrible thing to base yourself off of.
So there must be an idea here. There must be an idea about the horse. The susya, she's a mishmi. Right? And the horse sleeps 60 breaths.
Abaye, have a niyem kidmi'il.
Niyem kidmi'il mi pumpadisa. When he was coming up from Pumpadisa, and when he was on his way up from Pumpadisa, lebe kubi. Someplace. What happened on this way? It was during the day. It was during the day. He was traveling by day from Pumpadita to Beikubi. And what happened? What happened? Nayim. He was napping during the day.
Could I continue now?
Yeah.
Okay. Karyala Rav Yosef, Ad Matai Itzal Tishkav, Matai Takum Mish.
Right, so what happened? Abaye was napping.
Some harsh words in the article.
And Rav Yosef basically quoted this pasuk from Mishlei saying, what? Well, what's going on, sleepyhead?
Wake up, you sluggard.
Right.
That's what it says in the...
You're a laggard, you're sleeping, you're lazy, you're an otzel.
Lazy bones.
What kind of business is that? What are you taking this kind of long nap during the day? It was considered inappropriate.
I was taking
so the Gemara is bringing this sort of as a proof to the statement of Rav. Rav says you shouldn't sleep more than a horse. And just to show you that that's in fact taken to heart, look what happened over here. Abaye once did this, and he got Musa from Rav Yosef. Yeah. So what's going on here? What's going on here? What's the reason for this? What's the reason for this mandate of Rav? Look at Rashi.
It's Torah.
Good. Rashi says, it's two lines down, the end of the second line of Rashi. Leishin bayom. Leishin bayom. Leishin bayom. Someone see the Rashi?
Leishin bayom, mipnei bitul Torah.
Mipnei bitul Torah. Rashi says, what's Rav's statement based on? It's based on a concern that people are going to sleep during the day and it's going to take away time from their Torah study. What exactly does this mean? A person's not entitled to sleep. He's supposed to gotta learn all the time. Anytime he sleeps, it's called Bittul Torah?
Yeah, he was saying this too.
No, it's just a statement. It's what?
Well, that's where the Rambam comes in.
No, Rav's statement? The original statement of Rav is four lines down. Rav just made a general statement. Also, la'odam leishin b'yom yoseh mishen asasus.
Yeah, but when he's asking, like, how long are you going to sleep?
No, that was just a little incident that took place between Abaye and Rav Yosef. Yeah.
I'm saying Abaye is the one who slept. Abaye is not the son of God.
Right, exactly. And it makes the question even stronger.
Abaye is
being mevatel the Torah because he's taking a little bit of a nap during the day. It's a little difficult to... it's difficult. So let's take a look at this Rambam. The Rambam is in Hilchos Talmud Torah in Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Gimel. Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Gimel. Anyone that has the Rambam could follow along. Avi will read it for us aloud. Listen to the language of this Rambam, okay? Gimel Yud Gimel.
Afop, Shemitzvah Lomo Torah B'yom Ubalayla.
Good. Even though it's proper, it's appropriate to do what?
Learn day and night.
To learn day and night.
Ein Adam Lamad Rov Chachmaso Ela B'layla.
What does that mean?
That a person doesn't learn most of his...
It's a famous Rambam. No, the Rambam says the other way. A person generally acquires most of his Torah knowledge at night. Most of his Torah knowledge is acquired in his learning at night. It's a double negative. Ein Adam Lamad Rov Chachmaso, meaning it's actually not a double negative. It means a person only acquires. Right? You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Lefichach.
Ella, because it's Ein Ella. I guess it is double in that sense. Ein, together with Ella, basically means only.
But you could translate that also, one doesn't do this, except Ella, except.
Right, but with the Ein, it sort of comes a little cumbersome. If you're not familiar with the language, basically what it means, Ein together with Ella means only in this way. Person only acquires most of his learning b'layla. Lefikach, therefore, so what?
Lefikach, Misha wrote to Lezichus.
Lezakos.
Lezakos, Bekeser HaTorah, Yizar Bechol Leilosav, Velo Yavod.
Yo Yevod.
Lo Yevod.
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 Person, he shouldn't lose. He shouldn't squander away any of his nights.
Afilu Echad Mehen, Bishina V'Achila V'Shesia V'Sicha.
Shouldn't waste it with all these trivial things like sleeping or eating. Right? Speaking. Kayotibam. Anything else that's not learning. What should you do at night? Talmud Torah. V'divrei Chachma. You should be engrossed in Chachmas Hashem. Okay.
Imru Chachamim. In Rina Shel Torah Ella Belayla. Shenamar Kumi Roni
Belayla.
Roni Belayla.
Right, that's a Pasuk. So Ram says, Chazal Dash in the Pasuk. Tell you that the song of Torah was specifically at night. Okay, what happens if you learn at night?
V'kol ha'osik b'torah b'layla, chod shel chesed nimshach alav b'yom.
Right, there's a benefit. A person who learns at night, his day is qualitatively a different type of day than someone who doesn't learn at night. He's colored by his learning in the evening.
Shenemar, Yomam Yitzave Hashem Chasto, Ubalaila Shiras Ami, Tfila Likalcha.
Okay. Again, this is a similar idea being adduced from the Pasuk, that the relationship between the next day and the previous night are strong, and the day is influenced by the Torah learned at night. Okay.
V'chol bayis she'ein nishma'in bo divrei Torah b'layla.
Eisha chaloso.
Eisha chaloso.
Again, and then there's another pasuk.
Shenemar kol choshech timon v'tzfonav ta'achlu eish lo nufach. Nofeachern. Whatever.
Okay, we'll stop here for 1 second. So what do you see from the Rambam over here? What do you see from the Rambam? The Rambam says, and this is really based on the Gemara in Irvin, that when you want to speak about a time when a person should try to deprive himself of sleep, when is it? The Rambam seems to be saying at night. Don't squander away the whole night sleeping.
So it should be fine.
You should be learning.
An extended
that, not to learn then would be a detraction from your Talmud Torah. Mm-hmm. Rashi comes along and says, no, this Gemara stands for the proposition that sleeping during the day is a problem. Right? I don't know. It's a difficult, it's a very difficult Gemara.
The Rambam, so according to the Rambam, if you slept during the day, that wouldn't be a problem. Because the understanding is you're sleeping so you can stay up at night.
The Rambam does not bring down this memory. Right, the Rambam does not bring down this halacha, this statement. It sounds like the Rambam is not taking it as a halacha.
That's right.
That's what you're saying. The Rambam seems to be saying not as a halacha. It's sort of just, this was Rav's Eitzah Tova. This was Rav's sort of ethical teaching that a person shouldn't sleep too much during the day. But if you look at the... Yeah, I'm sorry, you want to
is
say that?
Yeah, is this halacha or a gadata?
That's a funny thing. That's what I'm trying to point out. It seems from the statement, the way the Gemara is presenting, it seems like a halachic statement. The Rambam doesn't bring it. If you look, for example, however, at the other codifiers of halacha, they do bring it. Look at the Rif for a second. The Rif and the Rosh both bring it. So if you have the standard Gemaras, you can take a look.
The Rif is a commentary.
No, the Rif is his own pages. They look like the Gemara pages in the back. It's
the Rabbeinu Nissim.
Yes, Rabbeinu Nissim is the Ran on the pages of the Rif.
Uh-huh.
Yes, it's Daf Yud Beis in the Daf Rif. The very bottom there, about three lines up, at the end of the third line up, on page Yud Beis in the pages of the Rif. You have it there.
Yeah. Omer
Rav over here. Yud Beis Amud Aleph in the Daf HaRif.
Here.
That's the Ran. Up. Right here. There. Yeah, three lines up over there.
On the
part that looks like the Talmud. The part that looks like the Talmud is the Rif.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so at the end of the third to last line. Not really Rabbeinu Nissim. Rabbeinu Nissim is the Ran. That's in the margin. That's the where Tosos would be. The Rif is where the Gemara would be.
Oh, here.
Yes, so yeah. Three lines up from the bottom. At the end of that third line, Omar. Everyone see it? Okay. Omar Rav Chizda, also Eishin Bayom, Yosem Mishin Asasus, Vakam Shin Asasus, Shishin Nishmi. That's it. The riff is bringing La Locha. Okay? Let's take a look at the Rosh.
Shishin
is 60.
Ah, sorry,
60. Also, I mean, it sounds like a halachic.
How do we import that out? I mean, that means how many. How does that transfer?
Minutes? We don't really know how long it is. How? Certain amount. Too much sleep. But it doesn't sound like a big amount. 60 breaths. That's what we were discussing. Does it mean 60 horse breaths or 60 breaths? That's what a horse sleeps, and therefore.
I think larger animals take breaths a lot slower.
It could be,
but a horse. Let's even say it takes a breath twice as slow.
Right.
Still. So 120 human breaths, one breath per second. You got a nice solid 2.5 minute nap.
Two and a half what?
You go?
2.5 minute nap.
So
Yeah, it seems insane.
So it's not,
that's not a real.
When you're sleeping, you breathe a lot slower, and you're not, you don't breathe.
5 minute nap. You get a solid.
Look at the rush. Look at the rush for a second. Just want to show you that the way the rush learns is. The rush goes by Simonim, right? It's Simon Yud Dalid. It's page 124 in the traditional pagination over here. Yes, Rabbeinu Asher. You know, it's a tova kamash one. We're just giving you a. It's not such a good thing. You want to be a refined person. Maybe it's not the best thing to do. If you look at the Rambam in.
Wait, that was all it just said? If you want to be
right. Yeah, no. I'm just ad-libbing for the Rambam. I'm saying the way the Rambam is approaching this is apparently not as halacha. Mm-hmm. It's not halachically required.
What was this?
That's just a repetition of the Gemara. Meaning is record. The Rosh is recording that statement in la halacha.
Oh,
and that's the issue. The issue is that he's not really elaborating.
That's another problem.
What's going on? Right. He's just saying this is the halacha. That's
right.
It.
Now the Rambam does say in Hilchos Deos, everyone I think is familiar with this Rambam, Ramses and Hilchos Deos, Dalad Dalad, Hayom Vahalayla Chof Dalad Shos, 24 hours in a day. Dailal Odom Leishen Shlishin Shehush Mona Shos. It's appropriate, it's enough for a person, Dailal, it's enough for a person to sleep one third of the 24 hour unit, 8 hours.
So 8 hours, okay.
Right? That's enough for a person. I mean, the average person doesn't need more than 8 hours. That's what the Ram is saying. The average person does not need more than 8 hours. It doesn't mean the average person gets 8 hours. And it just means the average person doesn't need any more than 8 hours. V'yu b'sof ha'layla k'dei she'tia mitchila she'nelso achetala shemesh shmona shos v'nimtza omei mitasa kodem shetala shemesh. He has it worked out that you get up at a certain time, you get up before sunrise, and then you could start your day. Get it. That's what he says. He says these 8 hours should be b'sof ha'layla k'dei she'tia mitchila she'nelso achetala shemesh. Your sleep should be from the beginning of your sleep until the rising of the sun. Shmona shaos, v'nimtza omid mitasa kodem shetala amon hashemesh. You're working backwards, basically saying that you're getting up before the sunrise, and the 8 hours should culminate with the rising of the sun. This way, you'll get up. You'll end your eighth hour of sleep. With the right, slightly, I guess that's what he means. Not quite saying that, but.
So how does it translate though? Keep in mind, he told me you were up learning at night. So how will that translate?
At some point in the night, not the whole night.
Yeah.
Right, not the whole night.
Well, I understand, but I'm just saying.
So whatever time of the night, let's say sunset could be 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, depending upon time of year.
It wouldn't matter though, because
you mean the time of learning at night is gonna be less.
Yeah, well,
that's a sliding scale.
Wouldn't that be problematic according to this? Because at least according to this.
No, the Rambam's saying the sleeping is consistent.
Yeah.
And the learning is going to be dependent upon how much time you have between the time that you have to get in those 8 hours and the time that's night.
So he's talking basically like you go to sleep 12 o'clock, midnight, maybe on the
dot. No later than that, yeah, it would seem. Later. Again, depends on when sunrise is.
Yeah.
Depends on when sunrise. Your bedtime could also be a sliding scale. Yeah.
Had an idea.
See, from the Rambam's mashma that they didn't necessarily habituate themselves the same way that we do based on certain times. It was more based on, you know, the physical phenomenon of the sunrise and the sunset. So even today when people get up with hanitz, it's not normal. If you tell other people, oh, we daven hanitz every day, you say, how is that possible?
Yeah.
And people don't work that way. And the truth is, for the average person who works, who has a normal schedule, it's not really so practical because you catch a train, you go to work, you do this, you do that. Everything is based on time. You can't all of a sudden say, you know what, I'm going to live my life based on the rising and setting of the sun. That's not the way the rest of the world is working. So if you live in a cloistered environment or you just, you know, in yeshiva, you could do that. Once you're part of the regular world, it becomes more difficult. Now, there are people who do it. There are people who daven hanitz. There's very popular hanitz minyan. But understand that that's just a complicated, it's very difficult for the average person.
Because
the world works on a clock. Yeah.
All right, an idea for...
I was saying, I think it's a little bit more than that. I think what the Rambam and Gilas the Gemara is saying about night is, I mean, during the day, a person has a lot of other distractions. The environment is such that it draws on a person's energies and a person is really spread out more. At night, there's a certain physical phenomenon that things are more subdued, things are quiet, there's less white noise. Person's able to really hone in on his learning.
Yeah, you can't do any reaping, sowing, or...
There's less distractions, just by definition, there's less distraction by night, at night than there is by day. You know? Well, that gives you at night. We're like we're part of society that are still slaves to the regular schedule, but I think a person might really find it on his own if you're honest with yourselves. Sometimes if you're working on something all day and you really can't get it, sit down at night, assuming you're not falling asleep, when everything's quiet, you sort of really could focus. You know, sometimes you have a certain clarity of mind that you don't have during the day. As you speak to certain people, they say they get their best work done at night. There are people like that. Right? They say when everyone else is asleep at home, that's when I can get my work done.
This is a problem for Florida because during the summer, you have sunset at like 7:45 or 8 o'clock at night.
Even here, sunset during the summer is very late. It's very late.
It's even later.
I don't know if it's quite that late, but I'm saying, days are much longer during the summer.
It has to be because it's higher north in Florida. You have greater variance further away from the equator. The highs are higher and the lows are lower. Which is why the Arctic Circle or Antarctic Circle.
Shorter day.
Time zone. Time zone.
It's a shorter day if you flew the west. So if you flew the west, it's also the
same. Okay, before we all disperse, I just want to
You have both factors.
Right? Read this into the record, as we say.
Okay.
This is the way the halacha is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Even the way it's formulated in Shulchan Aruch is very interesting. David Hayah Nusa Shalashain Shisa Nishman. Shulchan Aruch says David was careful not to sleep more than 60 breaths. Kidei shelo yitom tam misa. Why did he do it? Because he didn't want to be involved in partaking of an act of misa, whatever that means. So the Mishnah Berurah here says the following. Again, this is Dalet Tes Zayin. So Mishnah Berurah in Sivkat Laman Hay says Ratzo Lomar. Ritzufin, el hayamus namnim kam pamim. He would sort of doze, pachos mishisa nishman ad chatzos laila until midnight. Ume chatzos veilech hayamus gaber kari. He would get up at chatzos, and that's it. He was good to go.
What time would he go to sleep?
It's unclear. It doesn't say. He would start dozing and doze until midnight. When is this a problem? When is this whole situation problematic? That's by day. Only by day. So the Rama adds in here, the Gemara Perikai Yashay Mashma the Dafka Bayom Hayanizhar. He was only Nizhar during the day. Says the Mishnah Berurah. What does that imply?
Nizhar again.
Careful. Hesigo Olav Achronim Dilo Nimsa Shamkin the Gemara. Doesn't say that in the Gemara about David. Rak Al Ha'amoroyim Aval David Ba'atzmo Gam Belayla Hayanizhar. The Achronim argue on this position of the Rama. Rama says that David was only careful at night, but not careful. He wouldn't not sleep by day. He wouldn't not sleep at night. He only would not sleep by day. So Mishnah Berurah says no. The Achronim will argue and they say that's not the mashmalos of the Gemara. The mashmalos of the Gemara is that David would never sleep more than 60 nishmin, for whatever reason. Hayal Nizhar Nafkamina calls Eladidon Shabal Nefesh Yachmir Akoponim Bayom. And that's the Magen Avraham. That a Bal Nefesh should at least be Machmir during the day. So you see from here that the implication is that's not absolute, you know, like another halacha. The Mishnah Berurah is saying, and I believe it's based on the position of Magen Avraham. Just one second. Yes, the Shaar Tzion says this is the Magen Avraham, that a Bal Nefesh should at least be careful by day. Not to sleep more than whatever the shear is of Shisa Nishman. If you want to be a Bal Nefesh, you want to be a pious person, you want to be extremely pious, this is an area of yourself that you could work on to distinguish yourself as a Bal Nefesh. But the Mishnah Berurah answer does not include Shabbos. A person wants to nap on Shabbos, that's a separate discussion and is not included in here.
Then you're allowed to do more than 60.
Then you're allowed to do more than 60 horse breaths. But he also points out that later on, Reish Laman Aleph, that if a person can't learn without taking a nap, then it's mutter to do that. But he shouldn't have too long of a nap.
Because it'll make him sleepy.
Because there he's not doing it for himself. He's not engaging the sleep just for the enjoyment. He's doing it to make himself more able to be Oved Hashem. That seems to be what the problem is. When a person's just partaking of this activity because of its enjoyment factor, that's considered a little bit gluttonous, you know, not in terms of eating, but self-serving. But where it's for the purpose of Avodas Hashem, that would be okay. And that's what he concludes here. Ayin v'machzis hashek, el shakasav, the inyan hashena b'yom, the whole question of sleeping by day, is tolu l'fi ma'ashu adam, l'kafi atzerach, Avodas Hashem yisbarach. If a person needs to do it because he won't be able to go to afternoon seder, he won't be able to go to night seder, then he should do it. And every person is different. We say that every person is different. You can't give a blanket rule about sleep by day. But if a person doesn't need to sleep and just says, you know what, it's going to be very enjoyable for me to sleep, that's not a good reason to sleep. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll resume tomorrow.
The same?
Same bad time, same bad stage.
On the base.
Good time. Good time. We'll move on to the next piece.